bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air. And I want to take a moment this morning to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of our program, and also for Frank Eliason for producing our show. Today's show is dedicated to all of the Christians who are being persecuted throughout the world, and especially today in Afghanistan. And God says, my friends, in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." My friends, we are in good company when we are persecuted, because the prophets also had taken that same beating. And I just tell you, I want to pray right now for all of the people out there who are persecuted throughout the world. All of the people who put God first, put their faith up front, and are ostracized or criticized for it. I want to thank them for taking the time and having the courage to endure that persecution for God's name. And as Christians, my friends, we really have to continue to put the faith up front. We know that many years ago, in 1962, the Bible, actually the Word of God, was removed from public schools. And today we see, many years later, what's happening in our schools today. God's Word is being replaced with new standards, and basically almost no standard, where everything is acceptable. And this is something we have to think about, my friends. We really have to protect our children, defend our children, and secure the future for all of our people. Very important. But again, today, we pray for those Christians out there who suffer each and every day because of their faith. And if you've been in that situation, my friends, where you have been the blunt of a joke because of your faith, if you've been ostracized or criticized because you are a believer in Christ, then please give us a call here at Holy Spirit Radio at 215-345-1570, 215-345-1570, and let us know, you know, your story. But also, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for your family, for your children and your grandchildren, and we're going to pray for our nation and people around the world right now. So if you would join me in prayer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, our eternal Father, we give you praise and thanks for this opportunity to come together as your sons and daughters, for we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for your blessings, for your graces, and for your presence in our lives, for without you, we are nothing. Father, we thank you for the great gift of faith that has truly brought us together here at Holy Spirit Radio, and for the gift of time and good health that allow us to be here, to utilize this platform to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Father God, we put our day into your hands. We put our lives into your hands, our families into your hands. We ask that you guide us and direct us through your Holy Spirit. We ask today for your protection for those Christians out there who are being persecuted, and that you will help them, Lord, to endure through the suffering, because you, Lord, have suffered greatly for us in the passion that you endured, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, my friends. The Lord knows exactly what we've go through in this persecution. So today we pray that the Lord will bless us and give us the great peace to go forward each and every day, in no matter what we are about to endure, but that he will help us to stand up strong and have courage and strength to endure in this fight for faith, and also to defend our faith, to protect our faith, to share our faith, and to do all that we can to touch the hearts and minds of all people throughout the world, no matter what. We ask this through the intercession of our Holy Family and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, my friends, I want to take a moment to just also offer a prayer for those people who were killed in the earthquake in Haiti, over 2,200 people with 300 additional people missing. And you can see that things are happening around the world, my friends. There is, natural disaster. There's, a variety of different situations with chaos, coming about, developing. Our job is to bring the peace whenever we can. And so I encourage you, my friends, to do what you can to bring the peace to people wherever you go, because you just never know, where their family members are. They may be victims of the same earthquake right there in Haiti, or have family in the Middle East and Afghanistan. So we just, just ask that God will look over that whole area of the world, and in Afghanistan and also in Haiti, for this earthquake. And he will bring the people, bring the necessities to help the children, help the families, and to help them to rebuild once again. And we ask this today through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, my friends, we're going to get into our first reading this morning, coming up for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And this is a powerful reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 2 and 6 through 8. And here it is. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The word of the Lord. My friends, in the book of Deuteronomy today, Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord your God of your fathers has given you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you, you shall not add to nor subtract from it." And this is powerful. God's commandments, cannot be changed. He's letting us know through the voice of Moses, the life of Moses, a very incredible leader that God chose to lead the people, to be a voice for goodness, to set some guidelines. These statutes and decrees still in existence today. The question is, my friends, do we change them to suit our needs? Do we modify them to what works for us? Or are we doing exactly as Moses calls us to do, as he was instructed by God? And Moses says to be careful to do exactly as the Lord your God tells you to do. Don't deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as he calls you to do, that you may live and enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you, your homeland. God has a plan for you and I, my friends, but we have to observe his commandments. We have to get on board and cooperate with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God our Father, who gives us the breath of life. Each and every day allows us to wake up once again, allows us to continue in family life, allows us to go to work, allows us to do all things which are good, as all good things come from God. And he instructs us in the commandments, but he tells us clearly that we can't add to the commandments or subtract from it. We can't modify it, change it to suit our needs. And today we see a lack of adherence to the commandments. What are we going to do about this? And one of the things we can do, my friends, is individually take ownership of our decisions to get on board with what the Lord tells us to do and not to do in these commandments. And this is a time truly in our world today when we can see God's hand working. We can see that there's an entity out there who's working against God, an anti-godliness, an anti-Christ, if you will, a philosophy, a culture of death, a culture of sin, and it's really out there. It's going to be up to you and I to do what we can to oppose it, to confront it, to challenge it, and to bring the very best morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that we can, and to stand up for the Ten Commandments, the statutes, the decrees that Moses talks about here in the book of Deuteronomy. And many years ago, Judge Roy Moore, the Alabama Chief Justice, was fired for standing up for the Ten Commandments in his courthouse. And he was fired. He was removed from that seat, from that bench. And I just tell you that, we never know who will challenge us in whatever workplace we are in or family life we are here and living in. But we will be challenged. Sometimes we will be challenged in a huge way, as Judge Roy Moore was, and who lost his position as the Alabama Chief Justice. And I tell you that because, you know, God calls us to step up to the plate. And again, he said in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He tells us to rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. So once again, we're focused on eternal life, eternity with our Lord and our Father, our Blessed Mother, our Holy Family. We're focused on the Lord and his Father in heaven. And our reward will be great because we're standing up for righteousness, standing up for our faith. He says, theirs is the kingdom of God. Where else would you want to be, my friends, than within the kingdom of God, where there is no racism, there is no violence, there is no sin? Where else would you want to be where there's no deceit, there's no jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, or prejudice within the kingdom of God? Where else would you and I rather be? Think about that. So we can stand up strong today and every day for righteousness, because our reward in heaven will be great. Theirs is the kingdom of God because we're standing up for righteousness. And we want to do it right now, today, my friends. Do your part. Do my part. As we do here at Holy Spirit Radio to bring the message of the gospel and have been doing it. This is St. Joseph's Day, March 19th, 1999, many years ago, 22 years ago. And we're doing it every day, 24/7. And with your help, my friends, we will continue to do it. But this is a powerful reading. And God reminds us again that we cannot change the statutes. We cannot bend them. We cannot break those laws. God calls us to adhere to them, to be obedient, to ensure that we get the blessings of obedience, which are very powerful from the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses gives us that as well. For becoming obedient to God, the Lord will give us the land which the Lord, the God of our fathers, has provided. It's powerful. And in the book of Deuteronomy today, I pose the question, my friends, what wisdom have you gained? Because the word talks about this. Moses says, observe these commandments carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations who will hear of all these statutes and say, this great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. So what wisdom have you and I gained as a result of reading the Word of God, adhering to His commandments? What have you gained? What intelligence have you gained? How have you changed? In our last program, we talked about removing the old ways, putting on the new you. And God calls us to do that. And part of the new you and I is that wisdom and intelligence, and to share it in word and action, to live as role models so that people can see exactly how the Word of God, the commandments themselves, have changed us. Because what God says to do and not to do are part of the basic instructions before leaving earth. And He's given us these, once again, through Moses on Mount Sinai many years ago. And we have to thank God for these commandments, which truly are a roadmap for success in life. And as a pilot for many years, I can tell you this, if you're navigating without a map, without GPS today, in the old days, LORAN and VOR navigation, NDB navigation, if you don't have a map, a flight plan that includes great navigation and fuel planning, where are you going? Who are you following? How are you going to get to your destination? Think about that. And here we see that Moses provides the commandments to the people, tells us to observe them carefully, that roadmap for success in life and eternal life, which comes as a result of being obedient to God and believing in Christ. That's the only way you can get to eternity. We must believe in Jesus Christ, in His life, death, and resurrection, and be obedient to our Lord and His Father. There is no compromise on that. There's no other way to get to eternal life. So, again, we cannot change the commandments God has put forth to suit our needs. We can't make exceptions. Oh, I'm going to do it just this time. It doesn't work that way. We've got to come in clean. We've got to meet God 100%. 7 days a week, not six. We've got to do exactly what the Lord calls us to do and to not deviate to the left or to the right through distractions, through friends who are misaligned, through family members who are uneducated or ignorant to the Word of God. God calls us to give 100% and to adhere to His statutes, to His commandments, to observe them carefully. And like a pilot flying across the ocean, it's imperative that you stay on track and that you navigate directly to your destination. Otherwise, you may not get there. There's a pretty good chance of not getting to your destination. And we too, my friends, are called once again to stay on track, to navigate directly to our destination, which is eternity, eternal life. This has got to be our focus. This has got to be what's important on our agenda for daily life, and not last on the list, not something that's nice to know or something that may or may not happen, and to put God's word and His commandments last, compromising them because of things we want to do. What feels good, WFG, as we call it in the Wings program, sometimes comes before what God says to do and not to do. We've got to be strong. We can all make mistakes, but we've got to make those mistakes smaller and smaller and smaller, and gain wisdom and intelligence, and go forth making great decisions, excellent decisions, where there is no mistake, but we're right on that center line, navigating to our destination, just like the pilots throughout the world flying across the oceans. Very powerful. Let's go to our second reading now, my friends. And our second reading comes from the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, 21 to 22 and 27. And here it is. Dearest brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of James today, my friends, we are told that all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. All good giving and every perfect gift. So I ask you the question, my friends, what gifts has the Father given you? What gifts do we acknowledge every day? The gift of life, the gift of family life, the gift of children, the gift of a peaceful home, the gift of peace within your heart this morning as you wake up, the gift to breathing, the gift of feeling and touching and seeing, that great gift of eyesight or hearing. What powerful gifts the Lord gives us in the senses. And I have a cousin, Jackie, who has lost most of her hearing at age 53 and is struggling with that in her life today. And we never know what's coming down the pike in the future, my friends. So we just pray for Cousin Jackie because of the loss of hearing, which is so powerful, you know. And there are many people out there who have perfect hearing but don't listen to what God tells us to do and not to do. And they go the other way. They don't listen to what Moses has put forth for us in the commandments. They're not adhering to the word of God. They're going about their way doing what feels good. So what gifts has God given you? Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And in the word of God, it tells us to be thankful, to praise God, and to thank God for all things. Do we take a time during the day, do we have a moment during the day to praise God, to thank God for the moment, the precious present? Do we thank Him for the wonderful gifts He's given us? Or do we take Him for granted once again? The great gifts that God has given you. Reflect, my friends, for a moment and think about what gifts God has given you and your children, your family. Has He blessed you with a marriage for more than 40, 50, or 60 years with a wonderful wife, wonderful, dedicated husband? Are you thankful to that wife or husband, or do you take them for granted? Are you patient with them, kind, considerate, understanding? Or are we constantly taking them for granted, losing our tempers, impatient, unkind? Are we abusive? Think about the perfect gifts, the good gifts God has given us, and be thankful, because things can change once again at any time. Like the people in Haiti, more than 2,200 who died in the earthquake. Just think about them, my friends, how life has ended because of an earthquake. Be thankful. Let's be thankful for the great gifts that God has given us. Has He given you work, a great job, the ability to work from home? Has He given you financial stability? Has He helped you to maintain a just perfect health as you enter into the golden years? Has He helped you to get through cancer, survive cancer, come through an operation? Think about the blessings, my friend, and take a moment today to thank God for all that He's given you. Take a moment to slow down and to reflect on the blessings God has provided. Slow down and to think about what God has done for you and your family, for your children, your grandchildren, your parents. Thanking God for the wonderful home He has provided, the financial stability once again, which is so important when we see poverty throughout the world, people living on the street. We were down in Atlantic City on Saturday this past weekend for a karate tournament for my grandson Anthony. And we saw homeless people living on the boardwalk, sleeping on the boardwalk, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, people homeless living on the boardwalk. Basically no home, homelessness. People have made a decision to not go to work, but to continue in their ways with alcoholism, drug addiction, laziness. God calls us to take action. He says to us in the word here from James, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your soul, the word of God. And the Lord is the word of God, Jesus, the word of God. The word is able to save our souls. It's already planted in us. And the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet. Before he formed us in the womb, and somewhere in that time, he planted in us the word of God. And that word is able to save our souls. He talks about humility. James does. He says, humbly welcome the word that's been planted in you and able to save your soul. But because of a lack of humility, because of egoism and pride, people want to do it their way. They don't look at the word of God as the great source of decision making. They're going to do it their way. They know more than God knows. That's what they believe in their hearts and minds. But my friends, this is the great mistake of a lifetime, to ignore the word of God, which has been planted in us and able to save our souls, which go on to eternity, into eternal life. It's there, but we have to have humility. For a gentleman I talked to last week who's had years of recovery and is a sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous because of an opiate addiction many years ago, he believes in a higher power, but he will not humble himself, submit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not do that. He's not there yet. There's work to do. And although he's doing good work, my friends, without the belief in Jesus Christ and the obedience to the commandments, obedience to God, eternal life is not an option. He calls us to do it. But for this gentleman, he's unable to submit, to humble himself, and to focus on the word of God. So we pray for him. We pray for him to make that adjustment, to make the change that he needs to make. What change do you need to make, my friends? Because in the book of James, we are told to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding ourselves. Are we doers of what God says to do and not to do? Or are we hearers only? Will we hear the word, but we go the other way? We avoid. We take a detour. We're distracted. We do WFG, what feels good, versus what God tells us to do. The book of James calls us to be doers, to take action. Things just don't happen. People make them happen every day. Good things and bad things. Think about it, my friends. In the city of Philadelphia, only last night, a policeman was shot, grazed across his head. 15 shots were taken at him by several individuals in the streets of Philadelphia. And he was in full uniform, showing a tremendous lack of respect and care for our police officers. This is the culture we're living in today, where people are out there in the streets with a mission for money, a mission for power and control over the streets, for money and drugs and power and prestige, willing to take the life of an officer. And thank God for the great officers out there who are doers of the word and not hearers only, who take action every day to bring the peace, to defend the public, to ensure public safety. Tremendous officers. A good friend of mine just retired after 36 years of service to the Falls Township Police Department here in Bucks County, Officer John Yeager. And I commend him for the tremendous career and the service he provided for 36 years to help people. And he told me this. He said, every day I go out, I wanted to do at least one thing to help one person, at least one person that day. And my friends, if everybody just did the same as Officer Yeager talked about, it'd be a different world. It's an us and we mentality versus an I and me. We are doers of the word, and the word incorporates many things. The word says to honor your father and your mother. But are we doing it? The word says to keep holy the Sabbath day. But are we doing that? Are we keeping God first, getting to church, listening to the word, and following the word in action? God doesn't want lip service. God says this in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 to 9. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. Again, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Where is your heart, my friends? Do you have a heart for God? A heart to do more? And in doing more, are you getting your home in order where the word of God that has been planted in you and able to save your soul and the souls of your children is prominent, it's shared, it's talked about, it's protected, it's loved, where the word of God is the source of all decision making in your life? This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Where is my heart today? Where is your heart today, my friends? Do we have hearts for God, like Mother Teresa, the heart to do more? Like the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers years ago, who had a heart to do more and brought in Jackie Robinson into pro baseball, the first African-American ball player. Mother Teresa, who worked for more than 40-somewhat years for the homeless and AIDS victims, lifting people up off the streets, giving them a meal, clean sheets, helping them to die with dignity. A heart to do more. I want to pray right now, my friends, that you and I will have a heart to do more, and that our hearts will be close to Jesus instead of far from him, and that we won't honor him with our lips only, word only, but we will follow up in action. We won't be hypocrites. God calls us to be the real McCoy, the real deal. And it's powerful. Are we doers of the God's word, my friends, or hearers only? And there's so many examples of that. Listening and taking action is part of what we need to do every day. It's a beautiful thing to go to church, but it's even more beautiful thing to listen, to take action, to put God's word, just a few scriptures from the Word of God and put them into action each and every day. The golden rule, to treat others as you would like to be treated. Are we doing that each and every day? Are we loving one another? The second greatest commandment, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Or are we just concerned about us, ourselves, the I and me mentality? Are we giving some back in our time, our talents, our treasures? Are we in service for the Lord? Do we have that heart to do more once again? The book of James says this. He says, a religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Again, religion that is pure and undefiled, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is something we have to work on. This is our credibility, to keep ourselves clean, to avoid blemishes, stains, our track record that follows us throughout our life. Our legacy, is it positive or negative? What have we done in the past? Can't change the past, so those stains are there. Whatever it is. And working in the Wings program, my friends, with the criminal element, there are many people who have incredible stains from the world. People with 72 arrests. People who have committed more than 20 burglaries. People who have killed 4 people. And on and on and on. Our job is to look after ourselves and to become great role models, to be stable, credible, become role models for our children and other people's children. We don't even have to say anything, but by taking good actions, people see it. They want what you have. They see the Christ in you, the love in you. They want what you have. But if you're not showing that, you're not as attractive, because you and I are not showing God, godliness. We're not talking about God. We're not following His commandments. We are avoiding doing what He says to do and engaging in other things. Yes, my friends, God calls us to be doers of the word and to take action. Caring for orphans. And there are many orphans in the world, my friends. We talked about it on the last program. Women who are raising children by themselves. Children who are raised by grandparents. Tremendous numbers throughout the world. Because of a lack of discipline by parents who are now addicted, incarcerated, partying lifestyles, and the children are fending for themselves, trying to make it through the day. Many years ago, when we began the Wings program at Olney Elementary School in 1993, I used to go into the schools, and one of the first questions I would ask the kids after saying good morning, thank you for having me, is, how is everybody doing today? Anybody feeling good? Anybody feeling great? Has everybody had their breakfast this morning? Raise your hand if you have had breakfast. And more than half the class would raise their hands. But there was always a percentage, my friends, of children who did not eat breakfast yet. And it's now 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. Why is it that children don't have breakfast in the morning at that hour? Is it because something is not right in their home? Possibly a poor work ethic? Possibly parents who don't care about their children as much as they care about alcohol or drugs or other things? But there are children out there who go without a meal until they get to school. And so today we have meals in the schools because of that. Parents who are neglectful and even abusive, taking time to give your child some cereal, a glass of milk, a buttered roll, whatever. Children deserve the very best, and God calls us to be fruitful and multiply in the context of a marriage, and to take care of those children with your blessings, the blessings of obedience, include the child, the children that have been planned for us by our Father in heaven, the Father of lights. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration, there's no change or shadow caused by change. The Father delivers every perfect gift. And the Lord says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The goal is to come to the Father. But we have to get to know the Son. Get to love the Son. Be obedient to the Son. Believe in the Son's life, death, and resurrection before we can get to the Father. And it's powerful. That's our calling, my friends. I want to go to our gospel reading right now, which is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, 14 to 15, and 21 to 23. And here it is. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines and human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And this is powerful. Once again, we see Scripture reinforcing what we said earlier today. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine and human precepts. Is this the case for you and I, my friends? Are we in that category? Do we have to make changes? Do we have to raise the standards? Be objective. Be honest. Look in the mirror. Are you being honest with yourself? Am I being honest with myself? Are we worshiping God with our lips only, but our hearts are far from Him? And the Lord's Word gives us a tremendous message here. He says, from within, people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. He talks about defiling or profanity, desecrating, making something dirty or making it lose its purity. Okay? This is important, my friends. Unchastity, we'll start there. A lack of obedience to the Word of God. He calls us to abstinence and chastity, to not take intimate relationships with a man or woman lightly, not to do what feels good, but protect the sanctity of human life. And today we see tremendous numbers of abortions throughout the world, more than 50 million abortions worldwide every year, happening because of a lack of discipline. Okay, a lack of discipline to what God says to do. And this is important. We see this abortion and partial birth abortion that has gone on for years. And today we have abortion laws, but we also have parental consent laws. Okay, but it is still legal to have an abortion. It is still legal to take the life of the unborn child. And God calls us not to kill, not to murder. He mentions it here again. It was mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. The life of the unborn child is taken each and every day somewhere in the world. In the millions. And before that can happen, we know that there's an unchastity out there. There's an evil thought that goes along with it, to abort the child, to kill the child in a very violent way through abortion, saline solution, a dilation and cut. There's all kinds of methods being used by abortionists out there. And yet there's an entity out there who wants abortion. There are politicians, Catholic politicians, who want abortion to stay legal. Think about that, my friends. Think about that. People who honor the Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him, because they are voting for abortion time and time again, every time there's a vote in U.S. Congress. There are people out there, men and women. Shame on them. Shame on them for ignoring the Word of God and ignoring what God says to do and not to do. Thou shalt not kill. Advocating and lobbying for abortion. Imagine making it dirty, making life dirty and making it lose its purity, not protecting and defending life, which God calls us to do. But there are politicians out there on every level who are standing up strong for abortion. Our job is to counter that through good education and motivation and integration of the Word of God, which is the source of all great decision making. It's powerful. We must do it, and we must teach our children to do the same. The Word talks about theft. And you know, when you're talking about theft, you got to integrate the word greed. There's a lot of greedy people out there in the world. And I believe after 20-somewhat years of prison work and meeting thousands of criminals, I believe there are more greedy people outside prison who should be inside prison, who are getting away with theft. People in insurance companies, people working in the stock market. Every day, people get over on other people. They manipulate and they take advantage of good people. And there are stories upon stories that you see on television, documentaries, that are incredible. And this is a word, a message that's so important. That from within people, from within their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder. Having worked on death row for 3 years with men convicted of homicide, and in the Wings program, we've had many men who've murdered, taken the life of another individual. Adultery. Something that happens every day, both men and women who engage outside the marriage, who engage with other people, who are not faithful. And we can make mistakes, my friends, but we got to be careful. And in the book of Deuteronomy today from our first reading, Moses said, observe these statutes carefully. Be careful so that we don't end up with consequences of adultery or murder or theft. Okay? He talks about here in the Gospel of Mark, deceit. People lie, children lie, teenagers lie all the time to get what they want, to not get caught, to not make themselves look bad. They'll lie to their parents. I've had men who have lied in court and suffered consequences and are serving time upstate because of a lie after putting their hand on the Word of God, on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God. In every courtroom, that was the standard. Even that is changing because of the impact that people are having on the judicial system, the criminal justice system, because of a lack of desire to adhere to God's word. Deceit. He talks about envy, blasphemy, arrogance and folly, licentiousness, which is something lacking legal or moral restraints, especially disregarding sexual restraints. My friends, it's all there. This is a powerful reading of the Word of God in the Gospel of Mark today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, 14 to 15, and 21 to 23. And Mark tells us that from within, all this stuff is coming. But from within, the Word of God is there. It's been planted in us to save our souls. So we have a choice between good and evil. It's right there within us. We have a choice every day to pursue God and godliness or satanic entities and Satan himself, to follow his instructions, which is an anti-godliness an anti-Christ-like demeanor, anti-godly culture. Our job, my friends, is to step up today and to be the very best godly people that we can be, and to adhere to those statutes and commandments without compromise. We pray this right now, that God will give us the strength and desire to adhere to those commandments. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, that's our show for today. May God bless you. May He keep you well. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless.